Receive now this scripture passage for our sermon today from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. May we live lives of honorable righteousness before you. For you are our Father and we are your children. Shape us by your Spirit, by your word, so that we may be seen to be your children. We pray all of this through Jesus and amen. Amen. You may be seated. I read a very curious news report yesterday about young adults having parties, and that there's a big change from having parties of drunkenness and foolishness and all kinds of, overdoing it with various things that can be overdone, to now having what's called gym parties. Gym, not J-I-M, but gym as in gymnasium parties. And so people, instead of getting sauced, are sweating it out. And that seems to be the big rage. So people, you know, for my 18th birthday or my 20th birthday party, my 21st, what we're going to do is we're going to get together and we're going to work out. And so it's become this rage, I guess. Interesting. Better. It's good. Bodily exercise profits a little, Paul said to Timothy, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Some people make an idol out of their bodily exercise, and they don't have any time for the Lord at all. And yet, some people in their religious devotion have gone extreme with their athleticism in religious devotion. Some desire to be seen as athletic in their devotion, rigorous in their religious duties. Note the point that I said. They desire to be seen as such. In other words, their gymnasium has all windows. I remember in high school, during baseball season and before, the wrestling team would, now that I think about this, this is actually rather disgusting. The wrestling team would practice in the cafeteria. This isn't in my notes at all. It's just popped into my head, and you're thinking, you know, truly the cartoon strip is on full speedy reel today. But we'd be having fall practice and spring practice. We'd walk by the cafeteria, and the windows would be completely moist from these sweat balls in there. And they would roll the mats in there. And I remember walking in there, it was like walking into the guy's dorm at Summer Sanctus, just going, whoa, you know, whew, that ain't no cinnamon, as Mark Twain might have said. It was just remarkable. Where was I going? Oh. There's a sanctified sweatiness. Oh, that was the point. The windows were there so that we could be walking by the cafeteria, and before they became all fogged up, we could look in and see these guys grappling and groaning and wrestling and doing what they were doing and slicking and sliding. Then they'd get steamed up and you couldn't see. So some people practice their religious devotion in a gym, or in that case a cafeteria with big windows. Take a look at what we're doing. Sure hope they cleaned that well. Cross-training is not enough for some in their religious devotion. CrossFit is too easy for them. They are participants in ecclesiastical X Games. They are Olympian in their self-denial, and the whole point is they want you to know it. They want you to know it. They deny themselves so much that they want you to know how much they've denied themselves. And Jesus, in this passage, says, watch out for your hypocrisy. Watch out. There are certain things that ought to be done in private, and you're pushing them out to the public. One writer, in his translation of this, rendered the word hypocrite as pretender or performer. Beware when you fast that you're not a pretender when you're fasting. When you give of yourself in your mercy giving, when you pray, when you fast, don't be a performer. Block out the windows. Now, some of you in this thing, in this room, some of you know some things. Let me rephrase this. Some people know some things about you. So we can just pick one person right now. I could just look at someone or point at someone and say, okay, you. And I'd say some people in here know some things about you. Other people in here know many things about you. Usually in the family, there's no hiding in the family, no hiding in marriage. They know many things about you. Some only know some things. Others know many things. But our Heavenly Father knows everything about you. Everything. Okay, some of the things that you do. What do you do? Other people can see that. I see what you do. How you do it, they can see how you go about it. When you do what you do, they can see that. And where you do what you do. But other people do not know why you do what you do. I don't know that. You can stay, here are my intentions. Really? My intention is to do this in order to accomplish this end. But you've got all these other things that you hope to get out of it as well. Our Heavenly Father knows what you're doing and how you're doing it, when you're doing it, where you're doing it, and why you're doing what you're doing. Our relationship with the Father as His children is seen by what we do in public, and it's also known by what we do in private. Father knows it all. Heavenly Father knows it all. All right. Hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. Hypocrites are concerned with sight and sound. Sight and sound. Okay? I guess I could say, instead of, I could have switched that the other way around, Thomas. I could have said sound and sight, audio and visual. I could have done it that way. They're concerned with sight and sound, though. Let's begin with sight. Our Father knows of your mercy giving. You do not need to wave. Look what I have done. Our Father knows of your prayers. You do not need to stand up on a street corner, get out on Hewlin, on the Hewlin overpass over the I-30. Our Heavenly Father knows. Our Father, Heavenly Father knows of your fasting. You don't need to ache and moan and have a contort your face. Look at me. So, you know, our Lord is striking at our hypocrisy. When it comes to our mercy giving, you know what we're doing? We're saying, look at what I've done. When it comes to our praying in the public places, we're saying, look at what I am doing. And when we're fasting with a contorted face, we're saying, look at me. That's what's going on. We desire to be seen by others, and we desire their approval. Do we desire, because we are being seen, do we desire to be seen by the Heavenly Father? Or do we long for the mountains and the hills and the rocks to fall on us, to hide us from the dread face of the Almighty? Do we seek our Father's approval? And you know, these matters of mercy giving and prayer and fasting, they are predominantly private matters. That's where it starts. But we have a tendency to bring our private devotions out into the public. We think everyone loves a parade. So I'm going to make a parade out of my giving and my praying and my fasting. All right, we're going to look at this passage. Remember, there's an expectation. You are expected to be a mercy-giving people. By the way, in every one of these, we've noted that our Lord is striking at the heart of the matter. It's inevitable that certain things will be seen in public. When we give, there's a public component to giving. We're not doing it so as to be seen. Where we first of all take, let me first of all clap these together. I want you to hear this. Praying, Jesus prayed in public. Jesus pointed out to people who gave in public. We are expected to do these things. We're expected to fast. And it's inevitable that some people may see your fasting. But are you fasting so as to be seen? All right. Fasting. What is fasting? I would like to give it to you on a baseline level. Just reduce it down. To abstain from food and sometimes drink for a set period of time. To abstain from food and sometimes liquid for a set period of time. By the way, there are other modified fasts as well. If you simply say it's to abstain or to restrain or to refrain oneself, people also will fast from certain events or deeds or practices. They'll say, I'm just not going to do that. Baseline level, it has to do with that which pertains to our fleshly and physical nourishment, to abstain from food and sometimes drink for a set period of time. Now, fasting. I'm going to rattle through some biblical passages in a moment, but I'd like to give you a couple of hooks to hang some things on. Fasting may be corporate. It may be a group fast. A group of people, a congregation, a particular denomination, or even a nation may be called upon to fast. So it can be corporate, a group fast. But it can also be a private and personal fast. So in the Bible we find both public fasts and personal fasts. Public and private. Okay? In this passage, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord is addressing personal, private fasts. Your fasting. You. When you fast. He's referring to a group of people, but when you do this. Okay. Fasting is practiced throughout the Bible. I'm going to offer a number of scripture passages. You can write these in on your sermon note page if you'd like. I'm just going to mention them to you. In the Old Testament, these are just some. Ezra, the scribe, called for a fast regarding some who are going to return from exile. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, I proclaimed a fast there. That was a public fast. I'm calling upon you to fast. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, there was a private fast. Nehemiah heard of the desolations in Jerusalem and the distresses that some people were going through. And what does Nehemiah do? As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Joel chapter 2 calls for a public fast. Joel 2:15, he calls for a national repentance. Blow the trumpet. Everybody pay attention. I'd like you to gather. Moms with your nursing babies, gather. We're all going to join in this together. We're going to fast. Public, corporate, group fast. David, remember his son was dying? 2 Samuel chapter 12. David prayed and fasted with great distress that the Lord might grant his son life. Praying and fasting typically go together. Why would you be fasting without praying? And David had a private fast. Now, other people knew that the king was fasting. Why? They'd be bringing the king food. No thanks. Our Old Testament reading of Zechariah chapter 8, those were all corporate, public fasts in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was often in fast. Paul fasted regularly. He abstained from food and liquid for a set period of time regularly. In Acts chapter 13, for the first missionary journey, leaders in the church stopped, they prayed and they fasted to determine who would they send out for missionary work. They ended up deciding, we're going to send Saul and Barnabas. But they prayed and fasted. When Paul and Barnabas were out establishing churches, you know what they did before they appointed elders, leadership in the church? Acts 14, verse 23 says that they prayed and fasted to appoint elders in the churches. Okay, there we go. What is fasting? To abstain, to refrain for a set period of time from food, liquid. However, we need to get clear on something. We need to close the book on something. Let me tell you what fasting is not. Fasting is not. The biblical idea of fasting is not for weight loss. I remember years ago somebody said, you know what, I practice the discipline of fasting because I'm fat. What? That's not biblical fasting. That's fasting, but that's not what the Lord's talking about. You may lose weight, but that's not why you fast. I mean, how are you doing? I think you need to fast. Yeah, I'm fasting because I'm out of control. Fasting, in the biblical sense, is not for weight loss. It is not a diet thing. This kind of fasting is not for blood work. Now, many of us have had to fast for blood work. That's fine. That's not what our Lord is referring to here. That's not the fast we're referring to here. Fasting is not because, you know, I'm too busy to eat. Now, some people end up fasting because they're too busy to eat, and then they end up gorging afterwards. Oh, I'm famished. I've been fasting, now I'm famished. Empty, now I want to get full. Fasting is also not because you forgot to pack lunch. Whoop, you know, it looks like I'm fasting today. That's not fasting. What is fasting? It's an intentional, focused, purposed denial of self with an attention to the Lord. Attention to the Lord. So I'm going to summarize it, and that's, it's a humbling of oneself so that you may set your sights upon the Lord. That's a biblical fast. Humbling yourself. I love what Matthew Henry said about it, that fasting is an act of holy revenge. An act of holy revenge. It's a humbling of ourselves. Why? Because of our sin. Sometimes because of the sins of others. Lord, I do not know how to lead my family. I do not know what I need to do. I need to seek you, Lord. I need to humble myself because I need your guidance. I'm going to humble myself. By the way, pride-filled people, I don't fast. I'm good. I've got this. I'm fine. Sometimes God's people, like King David, go through severe trials, severe distresses, severe afflictions. And they don't have an appetite. They're not hungry at all. What's the Lord saying? Call upon me. Call upon me. So that's the second aspect of fasting. It's a seeking of the Lord. Setting your sights upon the Lord. It's to be directed to the Lord with all of your desires and your passions. John Piper did a number of years ago in the 1990s a great sermon series on fasting, and then it came into a book called A Hunger for God. He's trying to say, Lord, I long for you this much. Whereas every stomach pain may remind me, I'm hungry. Those are supposed to remind you of, I need to hunger for the Lord. Okay. Fasting is serious business, just like giving of yourself. Alms giving, charitable giving, mercy giving. It's giving of yourself. Praying, serious business. By the way, there's a reason prayer's in the middle there. Fasting is serious business. And because it is serious business, we want to be known that we want it known that we are doing it or that we have done it. Yeah, I am this serious. Therefore, this is very easy to do hypocritically. As if all that mattered was an empty stomach. Yep. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, yeah, I'm fasting today. Belly, grrr. What was that? Yeah, I'm fasting today. So easy to do hypocritically. Rather say, yep. Whew. It's easy to do this hypocritically. Matter of fact, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, rebuked his people because they were big into religious duties. Isaiah 58, the Lord addresses false fasting, hypocritical fasting. Yeah, the Lord is saying in Isaiah 58, you're a nation that pretends righteousness. You pretend you're a performer of righteousness. Isaiah 58:3 says, this nation acts as if they are righteous. So here's what they're saying. The nation says this. This is God's people. You know, when you're big into hypocrisy, you know, we've done this, Lord, where are you? This is what they ask. Isaiah 58:3. Why have we fasted and you've not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't even taken knowledge of it? Then the Lord answers, you know why? You're hypocrites and you're fasting. You're not doing it for the right reason. I know why you're doing it. But then the Lord exposes it. Listen to the rest of this from Isaiah 58. Take a look. In the day of your fast, you're seeking your own pleasure. You oppress all your workers. You know what? It's all about you, and you're so hungry and cranky, you're making it miserable on everybody else. By the way, when you get hungry, are you cranky? Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're just working everybody up. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight. You want to pick a fight with someone. So what are you doing? You're getting all religious so that you can stand there and go, oh, yeah, bring it on. This is what I've done. Lord goes on. And you want to hit with a wicked fist. Your fists are wicked. You want to just pound. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. You want to fast like this? I can't hear you. I refuse to hear you. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? When you fast, you're supposed to be humbled. Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? You know, fasting is not just an empty belly. There has to be all kinds of other matters with it, including the why you're doing it. You know what? If we fast as hypocrites, well, you know what we're saying? My fasting is all about me and my self-denial. Some of us may even have good motives for fasting. And so that's where, you know, you take out your little pin and you want to puncture the balloon of intention. Hey, bring that balloon over here. And you want to pop that thing. Sometimes we have good motives. We say, you know what? My motives in letting people see me in fasting is so I can be a good witness. The Lord hasn't appointed that to be a witness. And by the way, you know what your witness is? It's look at me. That's your witness. Here's your reward. So what does our Lord say? Verse 16, when you fast, you're expected to do it. Do not look gloomy. Don't go Eeyore. Don't go puddle glum. Don't look gloomy. The Greek word is sad. Don't have the appearance of someone who is miserable, contorted, sick, inconvenienced, pouting, pained, moaning and groaning with a pained look. And you know what? You can even do it with hand motions. You know, stomach empty. Your face. Face is reflecting what's in the heart. When you fast, don't fast gloomy like that. Don't let your face groan. I'm going to call this facial moaning. Don't get into facial moaning because your face is all moany. By the way, previously we mentioned that hypocrisy is big into sight. Hypocrisy is also big into sound. Remember that? Sight and sound. Jesus is saying, you know when you're a hypocrite? When you're big into the sounds. When you're giving, you want the two hands clapping together and people, hey, way to go, good job you. When you're praying, many words. And when you're fasting, facial moaning. Oh, I'm fasting. All of it is to be seen by others. Your face is busy saying it. How else would others know that you're fasting? So your face has to say it. That's the face that launches 1,000 notices. Oh, look at that guy. Something's going on. You all right today? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You look pained. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. It's all for the Lord. Here's your reward. I love the way Frederick Dale Bruner phrased this. We are, in doing this, you know what we're doing? We're directing our attention to people so that people's attention will be directed to us. You ever see somebody sitting on a park bench? Their face is just, There's a sign that says, ask me. Ask me. When you fast, don't do that. If you do that, you've got your payment in full. Deposit's made. Check your account online. Deposit has been made. Fasting is an extremely precise aspect of self-denial. And it's easy to be a hypocrite here when my denial of myself actually becomes a service of myself. By the way, this can be seen in other aspects of our religious practices as well. It goes, well, I don't fast, so I don't do that. Oh, okay. When you fast, first rebuke, you should be fasting. Number two, this is found in other aspects of your religious devotion. Anytime we serve with a chip on our shoulder, anytime we're serving the Lord with a chip on our shoulder, or with a sullen or aggrieved look, as if we're bearing a weighty burden. And here's what it is. Look what I have done. Others don't know what I've done. They should know what I have done. And there's so many others who simply, those other people cannot do what I have done. I like that guy standing up in the temple to pray. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this guy. I fast twice a week. Yep. I'd do more. All you have to do is ask me. I'll do it. I'll fast for you. If we do that, look what I've done, look what I'm doing, others can't do it, then we are wearing the same mask as the pained faster, and we're engaged in facial moaning. You can't serve with joy. I'm not going to say don't serve. I'm going to say serve with joy. Everybody goes, oh, I don't know what repentance looks like. Stop doing that and start doing something else. Well, some are so into what they're doing for the Lord that they are sure to let others know just what it is that they're doing for the Lord. By the way, some, because of the reality of their sin or the reality of sin that they have encountered, own. It's fixed on their countenance. A sour, dour, glum, and gloomy aspect, all to display just how serious they are. Where's the joy? Where's forgiveness? I'm not saying there are not times to weep with those who weep, but there are also times to rejoice with those who rejoice. But this, if we're doing some of these things, I am such a sinner, such a worm am I, and somebody walks up and then we end up like that minister in Nathaniel Hawthorne's story, all we do is wear a black veil. The minister's black veil walks about. And what does it do? It gives a darkened shade to everyone who looks at him. And then it also gives him a darkened view of everyone and everything he sees, because he's looking at everything through the tint of the blackness of sin. Our Lord uses colorful language to arrest us, because we are given to hypocrisy. We are. You know what? When you give, Jesus uses colorful language. When you give, don't do it as if in a theater. Greek word, theaomai. Don't go after theatrical righteousness. When you give, don't do it so as to receive the praise of men. Doxology. When you pray, don't use those thorn bush words. The constant poking, 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 poking of words. And the piling up of words. Our Lord does it here as well. In verse 16, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. In Greek, it's saying this. They disfigure their appearance so that they may appear to be fasting. The intention is, I want you to see my face so that you know what I'm doing. They disfigure their appearance so that they may appear to be. They're not fasting. They're just hungry. They're hungry for your attention. We're not hungry for the Lord's attention. So our Lord's, that's what he says. Verse 17, but you, when you fast, remember you're still expected to fast. Here's what he's saying in verse 17. Look normal. Look normal. Get cleaned up. Anoint your head. Wash your face. Take care of your hair. Put your makeup on. Fix your beard. You know, oh, I've been fasting so long, the beard's just kind of grown out. There are birds in there. There's all kinds of things. People come up, what's going on? Oh, I've just so much going on. So glad you asked. Take care of your face. Clean up. Why? Verse 18, Jesus says, why? What's the purpose? The aim, remember, is not to be seen by others. Remember, some know some things about you. Others know many things about you. Our Heavenly Father knows everything about you, including why. Others may see what and how, when and where, but our Heavenly Father knows why. When you fast, don't look and sound. Remember sight and sound? Don't look and sound like you're fasting. And trust this. Your Heavenly Father who sees all and knows all, He'll take care of you. You know, we're wanting everyone else to take care of us. So what we do is we send out our little notices. Hey. My private stuff, I need to... Ooh. Your Father will reward you. And our Father is a rewarder. Well, you got to think about that as parents. Our Father rewards. Our Father will refresh us. By the way, again, as with giving, mercy giving, and as with prayer, so also with fasting, Jesus is not saying that it's flat out unknowable ever. And if somebody knows that you're fasting, then all of a sudden, up, you're done. You're done for the day. I might as well go eat a burger. That's not what Jesus is saying. Remember, there are corporate public fasts. By the way, this country used to call for public fasts. Been presidents and ministers that have called for fasting. Our denomination has called for days of fasting. I know of churches that have called. If you can fast, if you can handle it physically, if your health is such, we're joining together in a fast. Everybody knows you're fasting. By the way, if you're married, it's likely that your spouse knows that you're fasting. If not, you probably need to talk. Some, more, a lot. And you're not doing it, honey, I'm on a really big fast today. No. I'm fasting, honey. The Lord will refresh. I'd like to make a few points by way of conclusion here. There's our text today. There's our text. When you fast, okay, here's a few points of application. I want to make a comment about hypocrisy before we get into this. So here's the first point of conclusion, or I guess you can just call it application. A note about hypocrisy. There's so much misunderstanding about hypocrisy. And by the way, we're the first people that get blasted with being hypocrites. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. And so get ready. That's usually the first charge out of the box, out of the tunnel. The first charge, the team rush out and say, you all are hypocrites. Hypocrisy is not striving and sinning. That's not hypocrisy, okay? We're a target-rich environment for this because we belong to our Heavenly Father. But I want to be clear about something about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is acting a part, playing a part, play acting. Do you know what our Lord just taught us to do here? Our Lord just said... He asks us to act as if when we're fasting, we're not fasting. I thought hypocrisy was saying acting in a different way. Our Lord just said, when you fast, don't go all gloomy. Take care of your hair, your face. Get about your business. Act normal. Don't act like you're fasting. Isn't that hypocrisy? No, that's not hypocrisy. The hypocrite, there's a big distinction here. The hypocrite puts on an act, And the hypocrite acts that way in the service of self. Those who are the children of their Heavenly Father actually act that way in the service of others. Because the child of God is busy serving the Lord. I'm not going to put on a show because I love you. The hypocrite fasts and acts the part of the deeply religious and humble person. The children of the Heavenly Father fast because they know they have nothing to offer. You know, it is possible to do deeds of mercy-giving, prayer, and fasting to show love of God and others. And it's possible to do those things as a show of love for yourself. That's the distinction. Why, Lord, why'd you take care of that? It was because I'm serving them. What you usually do this in your daily life. I've seen your house. Now you're doing this as a service to others. It's a big distinction there. We need to be clear. We need to think biblically about this. People will take that word hypocrisy and they'll just throw it and hey, it sticks. It's you. No, that's not the case at all. Number two. By the way, there's only three points. Number two, simple statement. And attention here. The Father, our Heavenly Father, sees everything right now. Sees it all. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, doesn't just see our righteous acts and our sinful acts. He also sees our pretended righteousnesses. There is no hiding here. Our Heavenly Father sees the what and the why. He sees the where and the why. He sees the when and the why. He sees everything you're doing and why you're doing it. Stop playing games. We play games here. You know why we play games? It's because our desires are too weak. We have weak desires. And so what we want to do is we want to please everybody else. Yeah, you know what? I want you to see I'm doing a good job here. Our desires are actually too weak. We do not have sea legs, muscle memory, the practice of holiness. We are out of practice. So you know what Paul said? He's not afraid to refer to sports. Paul actually referred to boxing and training. So here we go back to the exercise. He referred to racing, running in a race. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners are running, but only one receives the prize? I want you to run in such a way that you're going to receive the prize. You're going to get into it? Get into it like you mean it. And some people are running, look, how do you like my outfit? That's hypocritical running. Some people are running, I just want to get the sticker for the back of my car. And I finished it. No. Paul goes on, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. If you're an athlete, you get about it in everything. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, crown. But what are we going to get? We're going to get an imperishable wreath. It's one that's never going to fade. So Paul says, I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one who's just beating the air. Yeah, whatever, bring it on. But I discipline my body, and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself might become disqualified. Y'all are preaching. Everyone is preaching. Be disqualified? John Calvin mentioned that this is the purpose of fasting, to be joined with our prayers. You know, he says, you know what? A full stomach is rarely... It's just like our mind. Full stomach is down. Just like when our stomachs are full, it's kind of like our minds are down. They're not lifted up to the Lord. Get empty, get hungry, get thirsty for the ways of the Lord. Remember, our Father sees it all. Finally, have you ever heard of the line, so-and-so is holier than thou? You know, somebody is striving in religious duties, and somebody else, usually somebody who's convicted, they'll say, "Well, so-and-so is being holier than thou." Sometimes it sticks, oftentimes it doesn't. But I'm concerned about something. I think that there's a tendency for some who have grown up in the church some who have received the great covenant privileges to actually strive to be worldlier than thou. Worldlier than thou. We know what's expected of us. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, do it. Don't do it like this, but do it like this. But among some of those who have grown up in the church, our children included, and some of us, many of us included, there seems to be a cool factor, a trendy factor, in being edgy, marginal, being in the know, and taking great pride in it. There is no pride in being recognized as being holy. Because, first of all, it's not a matter of being seen out there in public. It does issue forth in holy deeds. And those are the things that people rip into. Oh, you think you're better than everyone else. Actually, I don't. I'm a child of my Heavenly Father. But there is great pride in being seen as being able to navigate the ways of the world, being versed in movies that we shouldn't see, music we shouldn't listen to, hanging out with certain people that are just simply sucking the souls out of us, being versed in sin and mud and muck and slime. Because I'm worldlier than thou. And isn't that exactly what our Lord is addressing here? When you give, you're wanting to be seen. Pride. When you pray, you're wanting to be seen. Pride. And when you fast, you want to be seen. Pride. Our Father sees it all. He will take care of you. He will hear you. He will refresh you. Let us not strive for worldliness, because there we will get the applause of one another. But those one another's don't belong to the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you cause your word, we ask this again, to sink deeply into our hearing. Shape us by the clear word of Jesus, the word himself. Shape us for your glory and not our own. For we are yours. So receive our service, even now our prayers, for we deny ourselves and embrace Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And amen.